The American walks every day, normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad has come to America.
Wake up, America. It's time to rise and protect our American way of life. You could be offended. In fact, you will be offended by the content of the show. You're listening.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night until December 31, 2024 is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Al, how was your holiday?
Holiday was great, Vito. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And how are you, sir?
I am doing well. Happy Thanksgiving, belated to all of our listeners. I was there, podcast lad, James and Bigfoot in the chat, and everyone out there. It was good. I took the week off, folks. So after the show on Monday, took the week off, and I did nothing. I kind of just went ahead and tried to kind of rejuvenate the battery and recharge it, and had an enjoyable Thanksgiving. Played some golf for 3 days and 4 days, and yeah, it was good, man. It was good. So,
excellent.
How you doing? Yeah,
good. Are the lithium batteries recharged?
The lithium batteries are recharged. I hooked up the computer right to the brain cells, and the lithium battery is back where it should be.
Excellent.
Sometimes you just have to kind of walk away, and as I told Toe Man, I just walked away from everything and just, you know, took a nice relaxing vacation away from the job and everything else, and just kind of like you know what? It felt good. Went for a nice walk today. Did a nice little 5 mile walk, and so yeah, feel good.
Kumbaya. 5 miles. That's a good walk. That's a long distance. Very, very good.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to do that about 3 to 4 times a week, so it's been working. So yeah.
That's good exercise. I don't care what anybody's walking that distance, 5 miles. That's probably what, an hour and a half, maybe two.
Yeah. Yeah, about an hour and 45 minutes, because I do kind of put a little bit of a jog in place in there. So
that's good exercise. Everybody should do that. And then you'll look like Robert F. Kennedy after a short time.
I got a long way to go. Hey, let's give a quick plug out, okay? Since it's Cyber Monday, give a quick plug out to Thompson Cigars. Hey, if you're in a market for some cigars on the line, Check out Thompson Cigars. Go to thompsoncigar.com. And they have 30% off today, plus an extra 10% for Cyber Monday. They got some really good cigars, and you can go up to their deals section too on the top of the page. You can shop by sales. You can shop cigars with free shipping. I like their 808s. If you like if you want a smoother cigar, and they're $19.99. Also, the Rocky Patel $19.99 is good. Eye Guy turned me on. Now let's see if I can read this. Hold on a second. I can't read it. He turned me on to Cordoba and Morales, Clave Cubana. It's a Maduro, and I'm not a big Maduro guy, but I got to get you one of these. These are fantastic. They're Maduro Toro 6x54 ring. These things are really good, and I was told that if you like bourbon, you pair it with bourbon and just relax and sit back and ooh, they're good. So
that sounds nice.
Yeah. So I have
an eye guy knows his cigars.
He does. I have to say he is that man is a cigar connoisseur. So he checks out all kinds and turned me on to Cordobas and Morales. Clave Cubana. So, and then of course
now,
there's
me.
Go ahead.
Now my recommendation is the Coffee Clone, and they are $49 for a bundle of 20. Inflation has taken those prices up, but $49 for 20, and that is a very good smoke with a hint of coffee flavor, and that is that's my favorite. That's my go-to.
Hey, those are great. You turned me on to that as well, and I'll tell you what, those are really good.
For a $2 cigar, it's a winner.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And that's what's good about Thompson Cigars and also JR Cigars. You can get a nice bundle for $2 a cigar, you know, a bundle of 20 and for under $2 a cigar, and they're really good. I got a really good deal one time at JR Cigars. Oh my gosh. I was looking at the cigars and I found that it was a hot deal. And so if you sign up for it, you get a flash email and you got to react quickly. But I got this one cigar. I bought a bundle of 20, and it was something like $37 with shipping or something like that. And then I went back to reorder it, and it turns out they were like $5 or $6 a cigar after that. It's like, holy crap, no wonder why they were so good. So little shout out to
Blue Light Special.
Yeah. Just watch it, man. Oof.
We need to make them advertisers.
I'll tell you what. I kind of buy every quarter. I try to buy from either one, check out who's got a deal here and there. So, but hey, an update on the women's volleyball. Last week we spoke about San Jose State women's volleyball team was headed to the Mountain West Finals, and an update. So there was a little bit of controversy because San Jose State is set to be fielding a cross-dressing male. And Boise State ladies and many of the teams inside nine players inside the Mountain West filed a suit to prohibit this dude from playing in the quarterfinals and the semifinals, and they lost. The judge, a Colorado judge, shockingly ruled that the dude can stay. So Boise State faced Utah State in the quarterfinals, and Boise State won 3-1. That stepladder meant that on Friday, this was Wednesday, on Friday they were slotted to play, Boise State ladies were slotted to play San Jose State, number two San Jose State, who fields the cross-dressing male. And the Boise State ladies stayed true to their conviction, and they forfeited the game. They were not going to play. That meant that number two, San Jose State, would play the winner, number five, San Diego State, and number one, Colorado State. Well, it ended up number one Colorado State beat San Diego State 3-1, and that meant Colorado State was going to the finals against number two San Jose State. And I'll tell you what, congratulations to the Colorado State ladies volleyball team. They took on the San Jose State women's volleyball team plus the male, and they beat them three games to one. And Colorado State biological females are the winners of the Mountain West division for ladies college volleyball. So congratulations, Colorado State ladies. You did a fantastic job. Glad to see that. And I know it was a tough thing for the Boise State ladies, but they already had been through this controversy, and they were not going to take it, and they stayed true to their convictions.
And hopefully all this will be in the rearview mirror going forward with the Trump presidency, because a man is a man, a woman is a woman, and the two shall not cross, even dressing. Even if you mutilate your body and cut off your privates, your DNA still remains the same, and that is the common denominator for your gender. And that is how it is and how it should, how it will always be, regardless of what folks say to the contrary.
Agreed. You know, it's just amazing. You know, with all all that women, biological women, have been through in sports, you know, they have Title IX as a protection. And suddenly, under the radicalism of the Marxists that's been led by Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris, they've sought to normalize transgenderism. And what they've done is they've abused women. They've abused biological women. You know, I don't care what anybody says. All you got to do is look at women's weightlifting. And that does it for me. And I know some power lifters, and I've asked some lady power lifters, can you break a woman's, let's say, deadlift record by 85 kilos? And this one, in the heavyweight division, this lady said, no, you can't do it. I can't do it. It's impossible. You know, it'll take me a while. I can't do it right now. But when a guy who identifies as a female gets into powerlifting, and it's happened. The dude comes in, identifies as a female, and then breaks the ladies deadlift record by 85 kilos. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So, it's congratulations to the. I want to say to the Boise State ladies as well for their convictions. Rowdy Gaines' daughter, for what she's done and what she is doing. She has been relentless. She's not been swayed by the pressure, by the radicalism, and she's taken a stronghold in fighting against men identifying as women and basically killing women's sports. She faced it head on in swimming, and so she's Riley Gaines, that is, and so her father was Rowdy Gaines, an Olympic swimmer. So a few things have happened over the weekend, including yesterday being December 1st. You may have heard that Joe Biden, that lying dog-faced pony soldier, pardoned his son, Hunter Biden. Not sure if you heard it, but it's been all over the news, and obviously the discussion has been about Joe Biden breaking his word. Can you believe that? I mean, Joe Biden actually, you know, broke his word, and now some of the media are going, how could this happen? So where have you been for the last 3.5 years? You know, Joe Biden is so full of crap when he says, for my entire career, I have followed a simple principle. Just tell the American people the truth. Well, Joe Biden is nothing but a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. And remember, when Joe Biden insulted a 21-year-old female college student back in 2020 in New Hampshire. Now, here's the lying, dog-faced pony soldier, Joe Biden, insulting a 21-year-old female for saying she had experience as a delegate, but she did not. And Joe Biden turned around and called her, well, you're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier.
So you're arguably the candidate with the greatest advantage in this race. You've been the vice president. You weren't burdened down by the impeachment trials. So, in the participation. So how do you explain the performance in Iowa, and why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
It's a good question. Number one, Iowa's a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but now you got to be honest.
And Joe says, well, you got to be honest because I'm honest with the American people. No, you're not honest. You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. Since Joe Biden stated to DNC ABC newsreader David Muir, he ruled out a pardon of Hunter. Will David Muir call out Joe Biden on the carpet and for lying and ask him why he changed? Of course, the propaganda Princess Pierre, she lied. But what else is new with the propaganda Princess Pierre? Here's the propaganda Princess Pierre, in her own words, stating that Joe Biden would not pardon his son.
From a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
I just said no.
I just answered.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just said no, right? She said no. No. She said no. The answer is yes. You know, I enjoyed reading the comments in some of the articles, and there was an article in the Gateway Pundit concerning this, and it was there yesterday. It says, breaking, Joe Biden pardoned son Hunter Biden in gun and tax case, and any federal crimes from 2014 to 2024. Yes, the pardon goes back to January 1st, 2014, and it goes to December 1, 2024. So if you go to that article and you read the comments, there's a comment posted by SSGT, Staff Sergeant USA 2. He says, Biden, this guy gets it, Biden has always been a liar. We all know it. It was just a question of when he would do it. Slimy, rotten to the core Democrats. And that is absolutely correct. Joe Biden is a liar. He's been a liar his entire political life. Joe Biden is a corrupt, lying, dog-faced pony soldier, a career corrupt politician who's used and abused the American taxpayers over the last 50-plus years, a career politician who has used and abused the U.S. Constitution. You know, remember the slogan, the rule of law, and then he sicks his Justice Department on his political opponents. But you know what, folks? Forget about all the noise about the lying, dog-faced pony soldier Joe Biden pardoning his son, Hunter, after stating he would not. It runs deeper than that, because the lying, dog-faced pony soldier Joe Biden was caught with his hands in the cookie jar. Within 24 hours of President Trump nominating Kash Patel as the director of the FBI, Joe Biden turned around and issues a pardon to his son, not just for indictments, the guilty charges for gun and tax case. He goes back to 2014, to January 1, 2014. Why? Because the lying, dog-faced pony soldier Joe Biden and his criminal son were on the take with Ukraine and communist China going back to 2014. You see, the corruption leads right back to the lying, dog-faced pony soldier, Joe Biden. And that's why the pardon goes back to 2014. And why are they also concerned is because Kash Patel, who's nominated as FBI director, knows where the bodies are buried. He's the one that uncovered the phony Russia, Russia, Russia scandal that was paid for by the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, and the Hillary Rotten Clinton campaign, and probably Hillary herself. knowing that it was a phony story. The Steele dossier was a phony story in 2016. It was manufactured and created by the DNC. Who was the head of the DNC at that time? Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Yeah. So you know who was appointed to the board of Ukraine Energy Company? Burisma? Why does this... See, why does this pardon go back to January 1st, 2014? Everybody's talking about the pardon and Joe Biden going out against his word and backtracking, which we all know Joe's a liar. But let's peel that onion back. Because who was appointed to the Ukrainian energy company Burisma's board? Hunter Biden and his business partner, Devin Archer, who was also part of the Rosemont-Seneca partnership. Who co-owned it? It was Chris Hines, who was the stepson of John Kerry, Hunter Biden, the son of Joe Biden, and Devin Archer, who was Chris Hines' college roommate. They all co-owned Rosemont-Seneca. Hunter Biden, here is an excerpt from an article. Hunter Biden, now 49, and Christopher Hines, the stepson of then Secretary of State John Kerry, co-owned Rosemont Seneca Partners, a $2.4 billion private equity firm. Now, where in the hell would Hunter Biden and Christopher Hines get $2.4 billion? Okay. Hines' college roommate, Devin Archer, was a managing partner in the firm, spring of 2014. Biden and Archer joined the board of Burisma Holdings, a Ukrainian gas company that was at the center of a UK money laundering probe. Over the next year, Burisma reportedly paid Biden and Archer companies over $3 million. And remember, it was the big guy in emails and documents that got 10% from Hunter Biden's companies. So the pardon goes back to January 1st, 2014. Guess who joined the board of Burisma on May 13th, 2014? It was Hunter Biden. Hours after Biden's board appointment went public on May 13, 2014, Hines emailed Matt Summers and David Wade, two of his stepfather's top aides at the State Department. Now, you don't think this thing is all incestuous? You've got John Kerry as Secretary of State, and his son is involved in the Ukrainian energy company. He's involved with communist China. And who else? Who all those were else these two influence peddlers were involved with? Apparently, Devin and Hunter both joined the board of Burisma, and at a press release went out today, wrote Hines, I can't speak why they decided to, but there was no investment by our firm in the company. So I'm going to correct myself. I read... and I thought that Christopher Hines was also part of the board. The problem was with Christopher Hines, he was an owner of Rosemont Seneca in 2014. He was a co-owner. So he was reaping the rewards of the Burisma board members who were getting $50,000 per month. So, you know, Christopher Hines is not clean and green in all this either. John Kerry's son. But it took Christopher Hines a year to finally step away from Rosemont Seneca. But the key is, Christopher Hines wrote, I can't speak why they decided to, meaning Hunter Biden and Devin Archer, why they decided to join the board of Burisma, but there was no investment by our firm in the company. So you wonder why Biden, then president of Ukraine, to have a special prosecutor fired? You wonder why? And in Joe Biden's own words, Joe Biden stated in his own words that he and Barack Obama had a special prosecutor fired. They withheld a $1 billion loan guarantee if the special prosecutor wasn't fired. And Joe Biden had diarrhea of the mouth at the Center for Security Policy at their symposium because Joe Biden, the lion dog-faced pony soldier, wanted to be big man on campus. Here is Joe Biden, the lying dog-faced pony soldier, in his own words, talking about how he got the special prosecutor fired because they withheld a $1 billion loan guarantee evening, Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Satoru Obama.
Tonight there's some troublesome news for Joe Biden. No, it's not what you think or what you may have heard in some other news outlets. We generally don't dabble in that kind of stuff here, at least not on this newscast. No, this is actually a lot more important because it may have to do with malfeasance, may have to do with corruption on the part of our former vice president. I want you to listen to what Mr. Biden said last year about getting a prosecutor in Ukraine fired.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a
bitch.
Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Solid.
So they put in place someone who was solid. They put in place someone who was solid. So Joe Biden, the lying dog-faced pony soldier, had diarrhea of the mouth back in 2019 before he declared himself for president of the United States. And it was Nancy Pelosi who went into rapid damage control to seek an impeachment against President Trump for calling then-President Zelensky to find out about this quid pro quo by Barack Hussein Satoru Obama and Joe Biden. You see why Joe Biden went back to January 1, 2014 to pardon Hunter Biden? All the media is talking about is, oh, Joe Biden went against his word. Oh, he said he wasn't going to pardon. Now he's pardoning his son. Why 2014? Because the lying dog-faced pony soldier, Joe Biden, is covering his ass. And you're not naive. You have to be honest. Because the corruption continues with Joe Biden. In 2014 and 2015, Burisma paid $3.4 million to a company called Rosemont Seneca, B-O-H-A-I, Bohai LLC, according to the New York Times. Guess what? It was co-owned by Christopher Hines, the stepson of John Kerry. It was co-owned by Hunter Biden, the son of Biden, and Devin Archer. That company paid Biden up to $50,000 a month. That would be Hunter Biden, according to the report. During the same time period, Joe Biden pressured the Ukrainian government to fire its lead prosecutor, who was investigating wrongdoing at Burisma, raising questions from critics about whether this was related to his son's position at the gas company. Do you see why the swamp needs to be broken? Do you see why the swamp needs to be drained and it needs to be burnt down? Nancy Pelosi went into damage control as Speaker of the House immediately to cover up for Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. And who knows if Nancy Pelosi was covering for her own family, because it was said that her son had involvement with Ukrainian energy, not necessarily Burisma. But, you know, the tentacles, you connect those dots and those tentacles all lead to collusion. They all lead to corruption. Joe Biden has been a corrupt little man his entire political life. Joe Biden is a lying dog-faced pony soldier, in his own words, indicting Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, a corrupt Marxist, and withholding a $1 billion loan guarantee, holding Ukrainian President Poroshenko hostage over it. And President Trump made a call to then President Poroshenko, to then President Zelensky to find out what Poroshenko did. I'll tell you, Al, you know, the media continues to normalize this corruption only because Joe Biden is a career Democrat. He's a lifelong corrupt Democrat. He is a nasty individual. Yes, guy, he's nasty and is evil. These people have been using and abusing the American taxpayers for years, decades, probably the last century. And they profited handsomely, including Joe Biden, the big guy, getting 10% of the rewards. Why would he pardon his son? Well, now we know why he's pardoning his son back to January 1, 2014. It's no coincidence, Al.
Well, Sam Faddis sums it up pretty good because he says that this isn't about Hunter at all. It's about Joe Biden, and it's also about espionage involving China. Joe Biden issued Hunter a full and unconditional pardon for those offenses against the United States, which Hunter has committed or may have committed or taking part in against the United States during the period, as you said, from January 1, 2014 through 2024. That 2014 number was not just made up out of thin air. It has a purpose. Now, this has nothing to do, this pardon has nothing to do with keeping Hunter out of jail, which it will. It has to do with keeping Joe Biden and a bunch of other people out of jail and covering up what may well be the greatest counterintelligence disaster in our history. It's about China. So let's grab hold of one small piece of the puzzle. Let's talk about CFC China, or better known as China Energy, and its chairman, Ye Jianming. Ye Jianming sits like a spider at the heart of all the Chinese contacts with the Bidens. Those contacts resulted in literally millions of dollars being funneled to the Bidens from communist China. China Energy was a Chinese intelligence front organization using the Chinese energy as cover. Ye Jianming targeted officials in foreign nations as part of China's United Front activities. The Chinese refer to these activities as elite capture, which we've spoken about many times. The goal of these operations is to gain control over powerful people in target countries and get them to act in furtherance of the objectives of the Communist Chinese Party. We've concluded, both Vito and I, on numerous occasions, that the Bidens were, in fact, Hunter and Joe, as well as the Biden family, have become a family, an elite capture of the Chinese. The textbook case of how Chinese energy did this can be seen in the Czech Republic. Over a period of years, Ye and China Energy bribed and bought their way into such a position of power that Ye was ultimately made a special advisor to the President of the Republic. The Chinese bought themselves a government. Now, fortunately for the Czechs, the nations ultimately woke up to the danger and China Energy was expelled from the country. But no such reaction materialized here with China Energy and Ye and the Biden family. China Energy began its efforts to establish a relationship with the Bidens in 2015. That hint, the 2014 unconditional pardon in 2015 when Joe Biden was vice president. And once that relationship was established with Chinese Energy and the Chinese Communist Party, Ye and their man in the United States, Kevin Dong, then funneled money to the Bidens through a vast array of shell companies designed to hide the payments. Now, the Republican Party actually made a report outlining all of these charges, where the money came from, with facts and evidence that went nowhere. And now it'll get mothballed and go nowhere again because this pardon, Vito, is unusual in the sense that it is so vast, covering so many years, for a family member of the president, and really has nothing. It's personal in nature. It's not a political pardon, as most pardons are. So this is all about China. This is all about the Bidens being elite capture, and this is all about the Bidens covering themselves up. So when he said that he wasn't going to pardon his son, I remember that show. We can go back to the tapes, and both of us said emphatically, that is a lie, that will never happen. We were so right, as so many others are right about this as well. So this thing goes deep, it's ugly, it's governance at its worst, and Biden, by this pardon with the 10-year span and unconditional nature, is all but admitting that the Bidens are corrupt and he's covering up and getting them undone for treasonous, traitorous, and seditious crimes against the United States of America. And it is sickening to me, as it should be for anyone who loves this republic.
Yeah, because there's no such thing as a coincidence, and I'm glad that you brought up the CEFC China Energy, because when you start, again, peeling back the onion, and the media, who is now finally getting to the BRICS, B-R-I-C-S situation with regards to currency, they're finally getting to it because President Trump has making it an issue. Maybe they'll start doing some investigation, but that we all know, don't hold your breath, because Joe Biden is of the Democrat Party persuasion, and the DNC media, they actually reign over the legacy media, and they will ignore any coincidences. And here's another coincidence. Al talked about CEFC China Energy. Now, I want you to draw your own conclusion. Okay. Listen to the time frame. The CEFC China Energy was a Chinese conglomerate. The company was among the 10 largest private companies in communist China in 2014. Okay? When does the pardon go back to? It goes back to January 1, 2014. In 2017, the company was listed as 222 on the Fortune Global 500. Okay? So President Trump is president in 2017. Joe Biden is big man on campus. He's going around making all these speeches, goes into hiding. And what happens in March of 2020, folks? If you remember, Joe Biden was getting trounced by Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota in the primaries. He lost Iowa caucus. I think he lost New Hampshire. But James Clyburn, the representative from South Carolina, guaranteed that Joe Biden would win South Carolina, and that would propel Joe Biden to become the nominee for the Democrat Party to take on that evil Donald Trump. Okay. In March of 2020, Joe Biden wins South Carolina. And suddenly, the two leaders of the Democrat primary, even in fundraising, Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, decide they were going to withdraw from the race and allow Joe Biden to segue into the nomination. Of course, he was being challenged by Bernie Sanders at the time as well. So let's connect the dot here. Al talked about CEFC China Energy. I just told you that the company was among the 10 largest private companies in communist China in 2014. In 2017, the company was listed as 222 on Fortune Global 500. In March 2020, the company, along with its subsidiaries, CEFC Shanghai International and CEFC Henan International, was declared bankrupt. The company used a complex web of affiliated companies to facilitate fake deals, inflate trade figures, and obtain bank loans to fuel its aggressive expansion. Son of a bitch. March of 2020, they filed for bankruptcy. Do you not think that this is not a coincidence, by the way? This is not a coincidence. In 2015, Hunter Biden became acquainted with Yi, and Yi and Biden worked together for about 18 months. With Biden providing his legal and financial experience to help CEFC establish joint ventures in the United States, such as Hudson West. Biden received fees in the amount of approximately $5 million for his services to CEFC. And remember that, the big guy got 10% of what Hunter Biden's take was. Biden also worked with CEFC on foreign deals, State Energy HK in Hong Kong. Son of a gun, in March of 2020, the same time that Joe Biden is now anointed as the new leader of the Democrat Party nominee for President of the United States, the Communist Chinese Energy Company, which was 222 on the list of the Fortune Global 500, declares bankruptcy. Guess what? There's no paper trail. And all Joe Biden has to do now is he maintains his office in Washington, D.C., in Chinatown. And then the Communist Chinese only dumped $70 million into the Penn Biden Center to build the Penn Biden Center library. Joe Biden and the Biden crime family are corrupt as hell. It is no coincidence that the pardon for Hunter Biden goes back to January 1, 2014. One, it protects Hunter with regards to Burisma. Two, and the biggest thing, as Al said, it's the Communist Chinese ties between Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. It is no coincidence that Joe Biden has rolled over and allowed Communist China to advance around the world, especially during his tenure as President of the United States. It's no coincidence that Chinese men of military age are pouring through the southern border of the United States over the last 3.5 years. It's no coincidence that the Communist Chinese government has been buying motels and hostels from the Darien Gap in Panama north to Mexico to allow their Communist Chinese male citizens places to stop over for food, for shelter, for clothing, and then walk in to the United States through our southern border that Joe Biden, Alejandro Mayorkas, the border czar, Kamala Harris, and the entire Obama alumni team opened up in compliance with the George Soros 2015 open border policy, in compliance with the United Nations Agenda 2030. The massive effort that's been put forth to undermine America's sovereignty shows that Joe Biden and the Biden crime family are directly responsible for this. It is no coincidence that a company as large as CEFC China Energy in 2017 collapses in 2020. Not just in 2020, in March of 2020, when Joe Biden is now the presumptive nominee for the Democrat Party for president. The fix was in, and we saw the cheating ensue in November of 2020. There is no paper trail now. The Communist Chinese have made sure there is no paper trail on their part. The Bidens are arrogant enough to have a paper trail on their part. But our government is so corrupt that they will continue to shield the Biden crime family, as will the U.S. media, which is controlled and operated by the DNC, the Democrat National Committee. I'm sorry, folks. I don't believe in coincidences anymore. When you start seeing, and you go back to 2016, you go back to 2014, you go back and you watch the time frame of things, it is no more of a coincidence. It is no coincidence that Hillary Rodham Clinton, MI6, Christopher Steele, Barack Hussein Totoro Obama, and Joe Biden were spying on their political opponents, i.e. Donald J. Trump. It is no coincidence they continued that spying on President Trump. And yet there have been no consequences for these actions. And then it turns out in 2019 that then Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, engaged in a quick cover-up of Joe Biden and the Biden crime family and John Kerry's situation and Devin Archer with regards to Burisma, having a special prosecutor fired. Because it doesn't just implicate Joe Biden as Vice President of the United States, but it also implicates the President of the United States, because Joe Biden on tape says that if you don't believe me saying this to Poroshenko, to have a special prosecutor fired, then call the President. Which means that Barack was involved as well as Joe Biden. So, Al, isn't it kind of ironic now? So if you do a little bit of investigating, you know, why go back to January 1st, 2014 to pardon Hunter Biden? And of course, the media, look at this. He went back on his word. He didn't say Biden did this, Biden did that. Wait a minute. Let's look at the dates. What's so significant about these dates? Well, May 13th of 2014, Hunter Biden and Devin Archer joined the board of Burisma, a Ukrainian energy company. They received $3 million from Burisma, and John Kerry's son, a stepson, is questioning this too. He says, we don't have to invest anything. We're getting $3 million. How has that happened? Influence peddling. And then you look at the communist Chinese. In 2015, Biden became with Yi. Yi and Biden worked together for about 18 months, with Biden providing his legal and financial experience to help CEFC establish joint ventures in the United States, such as Hudson West, start investigating them. And Biden received fees in the amount of approximately $5 million for his service to CEFC. Biden also worked with CEFC on foreign deals, State Energy HK in Hong Kong. In 2017, January, Czech President Miloš Zeman appointed Yi as his economic advisor. However, CEFC's many investments in Czech Republic in the past years were soon noticed by Czech media and led to speculations about whether CEFC was operated at arm's length by the Chinese government. So you're right. The Biden crime family has been compromised by communist communist China. Now, will anybody talk about this?
Well,
other than us?
This is where the big question comes in, because the evidence of treason, sedition, and basically selling out the executive branch to the communist Chinese is so compelling, and the evidence of this treachery is well documented. You hit the outlines of it, and it's vast. It was a complete compromise of his positions, Joe Biden's, the Biden family's positions in the executive branch, to enrich the Biden family and Joe himself at the behest of the Chinese communists. Now, while his pardon of Hunter does allow Hunter to escape prosecution for those federal crimes committed during the 11 years of the unconditional pardon, it doesn't prevent Hunter from being charged with obstruction if he is called in front of a grand jury to explore those crimes and Biden's role in them, but refuses to testify. Because even though Hunter Biden is now immune from the criminal charges, he can no longer plead the Fifth Amendment, which is, I will say nothing, so one does not incriminate themselves, which we talked about a little earlier that you had pointed out. So in other words, Joe Biden has handed the probable next U.S. Attorney General, Pam Bondi, a witness to Biden's criminal acts, and Hunter Biden will not be able to refuse to testify without facing jail. So that is the ending of this story, and what can happen after the fact of this unconditional pardon. And I'll repeat, is that Hunter Biden, even though he's been pardoned for his criminal acts, he cannot refuse to testify without facing jail should the Attorney General go after and explore the mountain of evidence against President Biden once he leaves office, which would be entirely within her purview and I believe her responsibility. Now, the fly in the ointment in all this is President Trump. And I say that because President Trump, based on how President Trump handled Hillary Clinton once he became president, he started the chant throughout his when he was running for his first term, "Jail Hillary, Hillary in jail," was his mantra.
Lock
her up. But once President Trump was elected, the weight of the office weighed upon his shoulders. He had a choice. He could heal the country, or he could go and, I don't know, go after Hillary for her crimes, which also were numerous and actionable. President Trump, in his wisdom, some would disagree, me included, is that President Trump chose to heal the country and then get right on the horse to start reforming it, which he did a great job at, by the way, considering all the problems that he had. So based on his past performance, I guess the question is, if Pam Bondi, the new Attorney General, should go after the Biden family for their ties to Communist China and their mountain of seditious evidence against the United States of America and all of its citizens, will President Trump opt to heal the nation and not put them through more turmoil, more trials, more of its leaders being disparaged for the world to see? Or will President Trump opt to heal the country and just let that all go?
Okay.
How do you think it'll play out? If you assume that the scenario is viable, it may not even be viable, what I'm saying. What do you think?
You raised a really good question on that, Al. And that's you put it very well. I'm going to go a different route. Because in 2016, I think President Trump, of course, being new to Washington, D.C., and new to the political side of it, while he had engagements over the years with politicians, he knew what their weaknesses were. The one weakness that President Trump had were the people that he trusted, and that included his chief of staff, Reese Priebus, all insiders. James Comey was still at the head of the FBI. Jeff Sessions, he talked a good game. And Jeff Sessions, you know, was a supporter from the very get-go. But, you know, he turned out to be an inside guy. And when he recused himself from a case, that really exposed who he really was. So there were some setbacks. And James Comey covered up for Hillary Rodham Clinton. There is no doubt in my mind. For whatever reason, Hillary Rodham Clinton is a protected species in Washington, D.C. I don't know if she knows where the bodies are buried. I don't know if she knows the real situation of Barack Hussein, Sator Obama. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, this corrupt woman is a protected species in Washington, D.C., and the players were in place to protect her. James Comey, Jeff Sessions, a fellow U.S. senator, by the way, to Hillary Rodham Clinton. Don't forget that. Even though she was Secretary of State under Obama, even though she was the wife of President Clinton, the fact remains that she was part of the good old boy system in the United States Senate. So there were some things that didn't happen, and President Trump had to pick his fights. And that fight he was going to lose. And I'm certain that even Mitch McConnell would have made sure that nothing would have happened to Hillary Rodham Clinton at that time. This is different. Now we're talking about treason. We're talking about treason by a lying dog-faced pony soldier, Joe Biden, and his entire crime family. Joe Biden has been corrupt as hell since the first day he took office as a United States Senator back in 1973. You know, he was banging Jill Stevenson, the wife of Bill Stevenson, while he was married and he had three kids. He was never honest about that. He ended up marrying Jill Stevenson. She's now Jill Biden. So the sordid issues of Joe Biden didn't just occur in 1988 when he ran for president and he was caught plagiarizing, you know, Neil Kinnock's speech, the UK politician. It goes further back to that. And we all know about the lying that Joe Biden has done. And now, of course, his mental acuity is broken. And there's no and for why this guy is still in the Oval Office, I have no idea. They just sent him over to where, Angola or something. He's in Angola now. I mean, why? Do you get him out of Washington, D.C. so he doesn't face any more fodder from the media? Not that they're going to hold his feet to the fire concerning this pardon, because Joe Biden doesn't answer questions. The U.S. media has normalized this evasiveness. I think President Trump, with the team he has in place, has made it clear that we are going to drain the swamp. And that includes by nominating Kash Patel as director of FBI, and within less than 24 hours, Joe Biden issues his pardon for his son? That's not coincidental. When Senator Thune, John Thune, is named the Senate or is elected the Senate Majority Leader in the upcoming next session, President Trump calls their bluff and he nominates Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. And the place went nuts. I mean, that name, Matt Gaetz, was nowhere on the radar. Nowhere. I'm sorry. There was nobody talking about Matt Gaetz. Pam Bondi had been the choice all along, and he was playing the field to see what was going to play out concerning Matt Gaetz being put forth as Attorney General. So Pam Bondi as Attorney General, you've got Kash Patel, and you have excuse me, Kristi Noem as Department of Homeland Security. I think that the swamp, the uniparty, the establishment are scared. Now, I know Holzer last week when he said that nothing's going to change, and you know what? He's been right more than he's been wrong. And it's going to be a tough task to hoe. But I think with the right people in place, it can affect change. There's no doubt in my mind that Senator John Thune is going to slow walk these nominees. There's no doubt in my mind that John Thune is more aligned with Mitch McConnell and the destructiveness that McConnell has engaged in order to tank the Republican Party. Now, I understand I use the term Republican as if there were two parties. I don't believe there are two parties. Okay? I do believe there is a uniparty. And John Thune is a member of that uniparty. Now let's see what John Thune is made of. Let's see who's going to emerge in the United States Senate, aside from Tommy Tuberville, to step up and to call John Thune to the carpet, including, I'm sorry, Senator Rick Scott. We'll call Thune to the carpet. Donald Trump's nominees should be confirmed so that America can move. We don't need a Secretary of Defense who goes AWOL for 14 days and did what in the White House. My dog pony soldier Biden has no idea where his Secretary of Defense is. Matter of fact, nobody but the Deputy Secretary of Defense knows where he is. That should never, ever happen in the United States of America. So I have confidence in Pete Hegseth. And you know that Hegseth, Kash Patel, Pam Bondi, all these choices are unnerving the swamp, including Linda McMahon, who, by the way, has, excuse me, has education experience. Kash Patel has legal experience. He's got law enforcement experience. But, of course, the AP and all of the left-wing outlets all don't want you to know this. President Trump's inner circle now will be his people. And that, Al, is what's going to affect change. We will not see a repeat when you had the swamp inside of his inner circle. The only one, to me, the biggest question is going to be J.D. Vance. He is unproven. President Trump will certainly test him to see where his allegiance lies. We already know where Tom Homan's allegiance lies. Tom Homan is committed to the United States Constitution. He knows the laws. He knows the subsections. All of these left-wing lunatics like Jamie Raskin and Alexandria Cortez, all of their theatrics, you know, all of the phony charges by the public broadcasting system, or I should say the propaganda broadcasting system and the national propaganda radio about President Trump separating families is absolutely a falsehood. You know, they don't talk about what under President Trump's presidency in the first, under 45, how they were testing children and the adults that were bringing these children in, and the DNAs didn't match. You think they're stupid? Do you think the mules are stupid? Do you think that Trump and his people were stupid? No, they were not. But the Democrat Party is so committed in dismantling America's constitutional republic that they will do and say anything. And now the United States media has normalized this corruption. Well, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't want to be naive. But the fact is that I like these choices by President Trump. I like who he's put in place. I have a couple of question marks now with regards to the Hillsborough County Sheriff who is being put in place of the DEA. But I think that some of the choices that Susie Wiley as chief of staff, I think is a great choice. I think Susan Wiles has done a fantastic job in politics, and President Trump needs that confidant. Now, will she get burnt out? She might, because President Trump doesn't stop, and that's good. We need somebody who's going to be a force, and by God, we all know President Trump's abilities. He's not afraid to take the arrows and the bullets for that matter. So, I'm thinking that president, this will be a different go around, and I think he does go after the Biden crime family, and not going after his political opponent. I believe that when you peel back that onion, you're going to see the corruption, and Joe Biden's name is going to be front and center, and it's also going to attach to Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama in some way, shape, or form, because let's not forget Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama is no Boy Scout or Girl Scout. That guy has corrupt from the core, or to the core.
Yep, and Hunter Biden's partner, Bob Alinsky, has already put all that research down on paper and has presented it to Congress. So it's there should they want to prosecute it. And in regards to Hegseth and Patel and some of his choices, which I agree with you. I think they're perfect because they're not of the swamp. You can't forget that President Joe Biden, he appointed a cross-dressing man, a man who dresses as a woman, and one Mr. Levine, now Admiral Levine, to run the Assistant Secretary of Health, and that they're making comments about Kennedy having that same position. Well, forget about it. The Democrats and the media were quiet about a cross-dressing man's credentials to run the Secretary of Health. And in addition to that, Pete Buttigieg, a mayor running Secretary of Transportation, who there were pictures of him with a prosthesis breast, and he was breastfeeding his new baby with a prosthesis or a fake rack with milk inside because he is a man and can't breastfeed because men don't do that, but he decided to trick his baby. Anyway, that guy's a moron, and he has no background in transportation, and yet the same Joe Biden appointed him as Secretary of Transportation, which has been, gosh, you name the I don't know, the chaos or the events, the natural disaster events, or train wrecks, or any other type of transportation problems, Buttigieg was not there. He was a bad administrator because he had no history of having anything to do with it. At least Patel and Hegseth are well qualified for these jobs. They're just not part of the swamp, and that's what scares people. So, like you, I want to see him in. And Pam Bondi, hopefully she'll be she's part of the swamp, I think, and I hope she doesn't go down that road, and I hope that she is also going to be like Hegseth and Cash Patel, because they're going to upset a lot of people within the swamp, within the governance in D.C. They're going to be reformers and disruptors, and that is what we need in our republic right at this time and juncture in our history.
The Declaration of Independence, under the third paragraph, it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government. And on November 5th, the American people spoke overwhelmingly and with a mandate that we wanted change. We don't want a Secretary of Transportation who is unqualified, breastfeeding, and we have a supply chain issue with how many ships in L.A. Harbor waiting to come in, and people can't even get toilet paper, okay? So we're going to have a Commerce Secretary and a Secretary of Transportation who are going to affect change, okay? They are going to actually know what they're doing. Hold your rights. Xavier Becerra is Biden's Secretary of Health. Levine is Assistant Secretary. So you can't compare Kennedy to Levine. No, you can't. You can't even compare Kennedy to Becerra. And Becerra's been useless. He's just been another puppet of Joe Biden. And that's what we've had. And you want to talk about vindictive? How about Merrick Garland? How about Alejandro Mayorkas? Alejandro Mayorkas, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, can look members of Congress in the face and flat out lie. And the U.S. media normalizes these insults, this sarcasm, and tells us that there's no problem at the border. Oh, really? We have millions, tens of millions of illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens pouring through our borders. And it was financed by the executive branch of government. And Alejandro Mayorkas can sit there and lie about it. He's lied. He's flat out lies. And he looks at you in the face and he lies. And the media now is concerned about Kristi Noem being Department of Homeland Security Secretary. They're concerned about Tom Holman being border czar. Really? This current border czar sucks. Kamala Harris has been the worst border czar ever. Under her watch, at least 25 million unvetted, unvaccinated aliens have poured through our borders. They're missing 300,000 children. They have no idea where they are. You've got dimwits like AOC in the House, in the United States House of Representatives, talking about asylum versus illegal aliens pouring through our borders, conflating the two. And she has to be told exactly what it means to be seeking asylum versus coming in America illegally. Tulsi Gabbard, with her record. we're told, you know, the media is having a hissy fit over this. Well, she can't be director of intelligence. Why? She had security clearance as a former U.S. House of Representatives. She's a member of the military. She's, what is she, a lieutenant colonel in the reserves? And suddenly Tulsi Gabbard is no longer qualified because she went to the other side of the political aisle? I love Christopher Wright as being the energy secretary nominee. He believes in oil. Guess what? Guess what? What did America have plenty of during President Trump's presidency? Oil. What did President Trump oversee that it almost broke OPEC? He brought Russia to its knees. He brought Iran to its knees. All the lip service that the left wing, that the Uniparty gives about adversaries, President Trump made it look easy. America became a net exporter of oil because we are an oil-rich nation. Guess what? The Strategic Petroleum Reserves filled the capacity, over 714 million barrels of oil filled the capacity at less than $40 per barrel. Joe Biden, that lying dog-faced pony soldier, he didn't drain the swamp. He drained the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, a national security risk. There are less than 350 million barrels of oil in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That means that 364 million barrels have been drained from America's Strategic Petroleum Reserves because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris wanted to artificially lower gas prices that they caused to escalate, that was causing pain upon the American people. You know, they talked about, I'm reading articles, and you all have probably read it, that Joe Biden's reputation could be tainted by pardoning Hunter Biden. Excuse me. This is where the U.S. media shows their complete out of touchness. The American people know Joe Biden is a liar. He's a lying dog-faced pony soldier. He's been a liar his entire political life. He lied to the American people. Not only that, he's been evasive. These last 4 years have been evasive. He doesn't address the media. He ignored the rise in gas prices, the escalation, the 300% rise in gas prices. He's ignored the highest gas prices ever. He's ignored the highest transportation costs ever. He's ignored the highest grocery prices ever. This affects each and every family, irrespective of race, color, or creed. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, red, yellow. It doesn't matter if you're a gay family, a straight family. It doesn't matter. You're paying more at the gas pump. You're paying more at the grocery store and you're getting less. More of what you earn is being paid out because Washington, D.C. doesn't care. The federal government, it is to break our republic. And that's why Joe Biden was installed. Because if he was an honest man and if he was a serious man, he would be addressing these on a daily basis. He would have been front and center with regards to the transportation crisis that America felt while Pete Buttcheeks was breastfeeding his kid, and we had a supply chain issue. You couldn't buy toilet paper. And nobody addressed it. When East Palestine, Ohio, suffered an environmental disaster, remember, the Democrat Party are the champion of climate change. They're the champion of environmentalism. We had an environmental disaster occur in East Palestine, Ohio. The citizens of East Palestine, Ohio were directly affected. People were dying. Water was contaminated. Where was the federal government? Where was Joe Biden? It took him one year to talk about this natural disaster, this disaster of a train wreck. Because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's administration has been a train wreck, all by design. Afghanistan. I mean, when you take a look at what happened in August of 2021, that was a disaster. That was embarrassing. That should never have happened. And no one, including the President of the United States, took responsibility. They all ignored it. and the media ignored it. Why? Because it was Joe Biden. Why? Because it was Lloyd Austin. Did Lloyd Austin get fired? No. Did anybody get fired for that? No. 13 dead American soldiers. And Joe Biden was busy looking at his watch when those bodies were received at Andrews Air Force Base. The disgrace that is shown by this man, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris resonated with the American people. And the American people aren't going to take it anymore. And you know what? Donald J. Trump is wise to this. You look at his picks. I don't believe Pam Bondi is part of the swamp. Al and I can respectfully disagree with that. I think she's going to do a great job. Was she part of the Florida politics? Yes, she was. 2 terms as attorney general. She ran. She was elected. She did a fantastic job as attorney general. But she didn't get into the federal government swamp. I think she's going to be a bulldog. And I think that they're scared. They, the Washington, D.C. Uniparty, scared. And that's the troubling part of this is going to be Thune. Senator Thune is part of that swamp. If Senator Thune is absolutely honest about enacting President Trump's agenda, he will have an opportunity when Brooks Rollins comes forth as the nominee for confirmation of Agriculture Secretary, when Pam Bondi is to be confirmed as Attorney General, if John Ratcliffe, when he comes up for CIA Director, when Harold Lutnick comes up as Commerce Secretary for confirmation, what will John Thune do? Will his leadership show that he truly does believe that America needs to change? We'll know when Defense Secretary nomination comes up for Pete Hegseth or Tulsi Gabbard. We all know that the left wing loves education. They've been raping the education system in Washington, D.C. since 1977 when Jimmy Carter, or 79, when Carter implemented the Department of Education. It's been a cash cow for the left wing. They've used and they've abused America's education system. Just continue to throw more money at it. Let's change the curriculum. Now we've got 50 education departments. We have the largest education department. It's swelled in Washington, D.C. And let's see what Linda McMahon is made of. I'm looking forward to Linda McMahon body slamming that budget. And let's see if she puts a chokehold on that budget and starts dismantling the education budget, the Department of Education budget. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., certainly he's causing consternation. Agita with the Washington, D.C. core. Here's a guy whose father and his uncle were revered by the Democrat Party. You can't say that the Kennedy name is not synonymous with the Democrat Party. The legacy of the Kennedy name. And he's been ostracized by the Democrat Party. Why? Because he went against the Democrat Party's system of what? Of control. And inadvertently, the Wuhan virus exposed a lot. It exposed the Washington, D.C. corruption. It exposed the Health and Human Services corruption. It exposed the World Health Organization corruption. Medical practitioners came out and said, well, we can treat that with ivermectin or we can treat that with hydrochloroquine. Oh, no, we've got to put them on remdesivir, and then 3 days later the people are dead. That's what they wanted. Purged the senior citizen class, put them on remdesivir, and they died. And you know what? You compensate the hospitals. And that's what Fauci did. And then when somebody like RFK comes along and says, vaccines don't work, there's no sense in masking, oh, right away, you're a denier. The AP, you know, giving a description of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., well, he's giving, he's a denier of vaccines. Well, excuse me, but if I remember correctly, in 2021, the lying dog-faced pony soldier, Joe Biden, said that if you get the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, you won't get the virus, which is a flat-out lie. Matter of fact, didn't the lying dog-faced pony soldier Joe Biden get the Wuhan virus even after getting his vaccine, his booster, his sub-booster, his third booster, his 15th booster, and he still ended up getting COVID? So President Trump has come into Washington, D.C. He has turned heads again. You know what? I wouldn't give a second anymore to Joe Scarborough and his wife Brzezinski, Mika. I wouldn't give them any time anymore. What they've been saying about Kash Patel, what they've been saying about President Trump, okay, they want to bury the hatchet? Bullshit. They're nothing but propagandists for the DNC, MSNBC. They had their opportunity. Trump gave them an opportunity, and they blew it. Forget about CNN. Forget about MSNBC. They're history. And you know what? Comcast knows that. Comcast knows that MSNBC is reeling. What will they do about it? In the meantime, President Trump is moving forward. You know, Holzer, Pam Bondi did run for and was elected for Attorney General while Jeb Bush was governor of Florida. However, he did not appoint her. She ran for Attorney General, and she won. And she ran again for a re-election, and she won. And it did overlap with Jeb Bush, and actually her term came to an end under Rick Scott. So she does have experience with Scott and with Bush. So it wasn't an appointed position either, by the way. She had to run for election in Florida for Attorney General. So that kind of, yeah, and I understand what you and Al are looking at too. You know, she could very well be part of the swamp, but she's done a pretty damn good job hiding it over the last 4 years. So if she is, and I don't think she is. I have met her before. I have talked with her on some issues. I've been in a sort of a closed meeting with her with regards to some workers' compensation issues, and she knows her shit, I got to tell you. And what she stated to the group, she actually followed through on. And I have watched her career as Attorney General, and she's only gotten better. You know, she's learned the system. She's learned, she speaks a lot better. And she's an attractive woman, and she knows what she's doing. I got to give her a props, man. I don't think she's a Bush puppet. She just happened to be elected during Jeb Bush's tenure as governor. She wasn't appointed, so.
Well, that's a great recommendation.
Yeah, right.
First hand, you can't beat that. So hopefully I am wrong.
Yeah, and you know what?
It happens from time to time. Yeah,
I know, and you raise a legitimate concern. That is absolutely a legitimate point, because this is what happened in 2016, and I don't think Trump is making that mistake. There's a couple of guys that he's nominated that I question, but, you know, we're not going to get perfect choices.
No. And I trust his choices.
I do, too. I do. And you know what's really cool about him? What, you know, people talk about, this isn't a situation where you've had, like, Biden and the Secretary of Defense goes AWOL for 10 days and no one knows where he's at. If you're AWOL for 3 days, you're AWOL for a day. Trump, you know, Trump holds you accountable. And if you have a disaster like what happened in Afghanistan, heads are going to roll. The Secretary of Defense job is not etched in stone. If he screws up and it's something like an Afghanistan, you're going to get fired. And you should expect that if you're underperforming your job. So I just I'm loving the choices, man.
You and me both. I can't wait. I cannot wait until January 20th. I just hope we survive. I mean,
yeah.
There was a ceasefire.
Oh, jeez.
How long did that last?
What, 2 days?
Yeah, in Lebanon. There's a ceasefire with Hezbollah, which is part of their terrorist proxy of Iran. And that lasted, what did you say, 24 hours?
Yeah, maybe that much. I mean, were you surprised? I got to ask you, are you shocked the fact that an Islamic terrorist organization reneged on a ceasefire deal that they were lamenting that needed to happen?
No, no. Well, 5 days into the U.S. brokered ceasefire in Lebanon, Hezbollah Muslim terrorists launched mortar rounds at Hardav, an Israeli position near the border between the two countries, on December 2nd. The attack fell wide, caused no casualties. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu condemned the incident as a gross violation of the truce and pledged to retaliate forcefully. There were preliminary reports of airstrikes against Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. The Israeli government's position won support from across the political spectrum, except for the Biden administration, with heads of the opposition Democrats Party and former Deputy IDF Chair Yair Golan accusing the Iran-backed terrorists group of creating a formative movement with this provocation and saying failure by Israel to hit back hard could be disastrous in the long term. And who has been silent on this is the Biden administration. They've been silent at Hezbollah's violation in a matter of days of this brokered ceasefire that, you know, I don't know why it happened, but they did it, and I think President Biden forced Israel's hand by saying accept the ceasefire or you're not going to get weaponry or any anything, you know, munitions that they need or that are in the pipeline would dry up in order to get this ceasefire. I believe that Israel caved because they had to, and they knew that Trump was coming into office, so they did. At Trump's behest, from some news reports, and then it lasted just a matter of days, this manufactured ceasefire, and President Biden has been silent on it, or virtually silent. I've had my ears to the ground. I haven't heard much of anything from the administration regarding the ceasefire. Or a condemnation of it.
Well, let's connect the dots for a second here. Okay, so on October 7, 2023, Iran funds Hamas to attack and to massacre Israelis, okay, Jews, and now you've got Hezbollah inserting itself in this war with Hamas terrorist organization, right? And so who financed Hezbollah? Who's funding Hezbollah? Iran. So what does Iran have on Joe Biden and the Biden crime family? What does it have on Joe Biden and the Biden regime? What does it have on Joe Biden and the Obama alumni team? You know, I read the UPI. I read the AP. None of them talk about how Lebanon or how Hezbollah is financed by and backed financially by Iran. So Iran continues where they despise Israel. They call him the little Satan. They despise the United States of America, calling America the big Satan. And thanks to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Biden alumni regime, they absolutely rejuvenated and regenerated Iran's treasury with Iran selling 1 million barrels a day of oil to communist China, Joe Biden and the Biden regime buying oil from the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. And you've got Iran using those profits to finance terrorism, funding Hezbollah, funding Hamas, funding the Houthis. Are we surprised that Hezbollah breaches a ceasefire that they were whining about that was needed? So, I mean, my question is, what strings is Iran pulling in order to escalate the war between Israel and Lebanon?
Great questions. And during this ceasefire, Israel was going to focus more on prosecuting their war with Hamas over in Gaza. And let's see, today, President-elect Donald Trump on Monday issued a deadly ultimatum regarding hostages, including Americans. Yes, you heard that right. Americans are still being held hostage by Hamas. You wouldn't know that if you were to listen to the Biden administration, who could give a rat's ass about Americans being held by Hamas, saying, President Trump said, quote, "There will be all hell to pay in the Middle East if the captives are not released by his inauguration in January." Everybody is talking about the hostages are being held so violently, inhumanely, and against the will of the entire world in the Middle East. But it's all talk and no action, Trump wrote on Truth Social. President Trump is the action. And I am confident that Hamas heard those words and they understand that President Trump will do something. They don't know what or when or how. But when he said there will be all hell to pay, do not doubt that at your own peril.
You know,
and that's leadership.
That's right. You're just a great point. And you know, another point of leadership, Holger just sent me a message. You talked about, you haven't heard anything about the United States with regards to the Iranian-backed Hezbollah, you know, breaching the ceasefire. The U.S. brokered ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah makes the Biden administration 10 for 10 in foreign policy failures.
So true.
Right? I mean,
yep.
Is that brilliant? Yep, another Biden foreign policy failure. Joe Biden is supposed to be this foreign policy guru, and yet he started with a foreign policy failure, and now he's going out with a foreign policy failure. Not to mention the $720 million of weapons that's being sent over to Ukraine. Anthony Blinken sent out a tweet concerning that. So you want to talk about the escalation of the war between Ukraine and Russia. You have Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the Obama alumni machine ensuring that the war escalates between Russia and Ukraine. So now we're delivering $720 million of weapons and who knows how much cash that America doesn't have. And by the way, there's $15 billion missing out of the Veterans Administration, but let's send money over to Ukraine. And now we have a U.S. brokered a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah that has failed in 24 hours. I'm thinking, Al, that the one way you can define the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris regime as just in one word, failure. I think that pretty much sums it up.
Huge. Huge failure. Monumental. Epic.
On so many levels, too. We could go domestic policy, energy, transportation, immigration, border security, and then foreign policy. Just lump the entire foreign policy as an absolute failure, because it has been. You know, you've got what's happening, the escalation of war between Israel and now Hezbollah, who's financed by Iran. The United States releases, what was it, $6.5 billion of assets in a month, 30 days prior to Iran invasion and military in Israel. The Biden-Harris-Obama regime did that. They helped secure financing for it, for Iran in order to fund terrorism. They funded Hamas. Iran now has funded Hezbollah. Iran's funding the Houthis. The Houthis got emboldened, and they were firing on U.S. military vessels. They were firing on all funded by Iran. And who's in bed with Iran? Russia? The communist Chinese? And you wonder why the communist Chinese are involved with Iran and Russia? Just look at BRICS. Who are the BRICS nations? You know, I mean, it started with, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. That was BRICS, B-R-I-C-S. B for Brazil, R for Russia, I for India, C for communist China, and S for South Africa. And since Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were installed on January 20, 2021, the communist Chinese have added to the BRICS nations Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and United Arab Emirates. And they're looking to add more. Why? Because of weak leadership in Washington, D.C. Why? Because President Xi of communist China knows that his little puppet in Washington, D.C. has been bought and paid for. And there's a reason why Joe Biden never afforded himself to the U.S. media. There is a reason why he is not accountable for his actions. He's doing exactly what he was, what has been designed to do, and why he was installed, and why Kamala Harris was installed. She was the DEI hire appointee, installed, and she suffers the worst defeat at the hands of Donald Trump on November the 5th. And in the meantime, you've got communist China now forging their alliances, not with just five nations, but now has added four more for a total of nine, and is looking to replace the U.S. currency with their own currency, the yuan, the communist Chinese yuan, and trade with the BRICS nations in their currencies. So Brazil, doing business with communist China, they'll trade in each other's currencies and ditch the dollar. President Trump said, okay, we'll show leadership. We'll attach a 100% tariff on any of the BRICS nations. Great. Well, you know what? Now they can sell each other oil. Russia can sell oil to India. They can sell oil to communist China and South Africa. In the meantime, the United States will start selling oil. And they'll sell it for $20 a barrel less, which would force OPEC, it will force Iran, and it will force Russia to lower their prices as well. So, yeah, this could be a trade war, but remember, under lying dog-faced pony soldier Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, communist China has expanded their muscle with BRICS, that's B-R-I-C-S, and now they've added four more nations to the BRICS nations: Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and United Arab Emirates, all done under Joe Biden's watch, under the Barack Hussein Satoru Obama alumni team. This has been one destructive government.
And all of that disruption and Ajna that's going on in the Middle East, it's expanding, and it's expanding into Syria. Bashar
yes.
al-Assad's government is crumbling. And this week's advances are among the largest in recent years by opposition factions led by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham Group, or HTS. That's Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, and they represent the most intense fighting in northwestern Syria since 2020, when government forces seized areas previously controlled by the opposition. And Hayat Tahrir al-Sham is an arm of the Islamic Jihad, maybe with ties to ISIS, and definitely with Turkey. And the victims of this are going to be Syrian Christians and other minorities. Now, Bashar Assad was a ruler with an iron fist, as his father was, but that is a very tough neighborhood to rule in. But being an Alawite, which is a minority in itself, Bashar al-Assad pretty much left the other minorities alone. But with the incoming of the Sunni Islamic State affiliated or sympathetic butchers coming in, the first thing they're doing now is they're kidnapping opposition women, selling them into slavery, executing soldiers and beheading them, and taking over Syria. And in that is Turkey. Turkey's at the center of that takeover in Syria and the Syrian civil war. And Syria, believe it or not, is a part of NATO. So all these strings are attached, and all of this chaos is contagious. The chaos, they fall like dominoes from one part to another, a part of that of the geopolitical spectrum and what our world is based on, and it's not good. There is none of this under President Trump, and that was all based on energy. America was a net energy producer. It took money out of the Middle East, and that brought them to the table, and that's how the Abraham Accords took hold, because the Sunni Arabs are more afraid of Iran's nuclear capabilities. So President Trump got all the Sunnis, or a majority of them, to form a cold peace with Israel. They were unified to a certain degree. They hated each other. There's no question about it. But these Sunni countries of Jordan, the UAE, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia was almost coming into the fold, but they realized that Iran posed a bigger threat than Israel. So that's how that happened. That all fell apart because President Biden he tried to break up the Abraham Accords, but those bonds became so strong that it took him 4 years to do it, but he's pretty much broken that up. And now with Syria in the middle of a civil war, that whole area is – the Middle East is on fire.
Yeah,
and this is brand new breaking news that we're still dissecting and trying to figure out how this is going to play out.
So true, and you used the word chaos, and that's the best way to explain the foreign policy of the foreign policy guru, Joe Biden. On Saturday, November 30th, I was reading bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog, by the way, folks. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Saturday stuff for the end of November. And there's a link, the Daily Mail. Rebels in Syria linked to Al-Qaeda advanced toward Damascus after taking the city of Aleppo. So Al is right. You know, what's happening right now in Syria is now plunged into utter chaos because we have weakness. The Islamic terrorists know that America is weak with the feeble Joe Biden and whoever Kamala Harris is, who knows where she's at. And of course the signals that have been sent by the Obama alumni machine as well. It's said that Bashar Assad has fled to Russia, he and his family, as a result of the unrest that's occurring in Syria. Again, you can't stress enough that the lack of leadership in Washington, D.C., from the president to the vice president to the secretary of state to the Department of Defense, there are consequences for this. And we are seeing those consequences. And there was a mission by the Washington, D.C. Uniparty, the Washington, D.C. Syndicate, to destroy President Trump, certainly destroy his presidency the first time around, 45, and then, of course, to make sure and ensure that President Trump doesn't get back into the White House. And there's a reason for that, and we are witnessing that. We are witnessing the utter chaos that's ensued in the Middle East. We are witnessing the chaos in the American economy, chaos in energy, chaos at the border. It's been one chaotic event after another. And, you know, I just can't help but remember how Barack Hussein Sator Obama tried to sell Joe Biden as this foreign policy guru, an expert on foreign policy, and he's been wrong. And as Holzer said now, he's 10 for 10. The U.S. brokered the ceasefire deal between Israel and Lebanon, and in 24 hours, it's dead. So, again, Joe Biden is a weak individual. He's a weak man, and that's resonated to our enemies. Is he bought and paid for by communist China? Quite possibly. Is he bought and paid for by Iran? He's got questionable ties to Iran. And what he and Obama did in sending cold, hard cash in the dead of night in two unmarked planes to Iran back in 2015 under the Iran deal is criminal. And the American people have had enough. We have had enough. Hopefully, January 20 is not too late. And certainly, President Trump is kicking, you know, is not standing idly by. And he's already issued ultimatums to the president of Mexico. And he met with Fidel Castro's love child, Justin Trudeau. Excuse me, in Mar-a-Lago. And now Trudeau has stated that he is committed to securing the northern border. And the president of Mexico has stated that she will do what she can to secure the southern border. So interesting, you know, all the hyperbole and the talking points and the misdirections and the cliches from the left wing, from the Uniparty about President Trump. All Trump has done is work for America. All he's done is work for America. Yeah, thank you, Bigfoot. Bigfoot put in the chat room, Obama's right about one thing. Never underestimate about Joe's ability to fuck things up. And that was the bleep, and I'm going to say it. So, yeah. And Joe has. He has from the outset, Al. It's just disgusting.
And time again.
Yeah. God. It just never ends. And he doesn't answer questions. That's the other thing. You know, this is where the media that's run by the DNC now, you watch on January 21st, there'll be chaos with the media. They'll all be yelling and screaming. They will show no respect to President Trump's team. Levitt, you know, as White House press secretary, they'll be peppering questions. They will be rude, obnoxious. They'll be impotent. But President Trump's people know how to handle these morons in the media. And, you know, for 3.5 years, they've been silent as Joe Biden has avoided the media, has avoided accountability. And we saw that for 58 days. Kamala Harris didn't have any press conferences, avoided the media. She's only under controlled situations because she was a fucking moron. And the same with Joe Biden. He had diarrhea of the mouth. And they couldn't afford to expose the ruse that they perpetrated upon the American people. Never before have we witnessed somebody who's not held accountable for anything and ignored crises that they intentionally caused. And then come back and say, well, it's Congress's fault. Oh, it's Trump's fault. In the meantime, you've allowed it. This is your ball. This is your bailiwick. And you screwed it up. Not once, not twice, 10 times. Every time you touched it, it went to crap. It's incredible, man. It's incredible. Oh. So do you think the ceasefire could return between Lebanon and Israel, or you think it's done?
Good question. I don't know. I can't get a feel. Biden has been quiet. My guess is it should be done and over, and that's that. But you never, I mean, you never really know how things are going to play out. It should be done. It should be over. That's it. In a perfect world, but then again, there's Joe Biden. So any possible, any way to make it worse is likely what will happen. It's kind of like UNRWA over in Gaza. UNRWA finally admitted, the United Nations Relief Work Agency, which is an arm of Hamas. Well, Joe Biden has been forcing Israel to send aid, food, and medicine into Gaza for the people. But Israel has been saying since this war began that every aid shipment which they've been sending over has been hijacked by Hamas. Well, finally, UNRWA, the United Nations, finally admitted that they are putting a halt to these aid trucks going in because they cannot control Hamas hijacking these trucks. So welcome to the news, United Nations, United Nothing.
That's right. The UNRWA.
The loser column for Joe Biden as well.
And you know something?
Just another.
Go ahead. Just another what?
Oh, no. It's just another I told you so.
Yeah. I was watching some video footage of the illegal alien invasion while Tom Homan was being interviewed. And they were, while he was being interviewed on Newsmax, they were playing some video. And the video happened to capture two young men. They looked to be in their early 20s, and they had backpacks on. And the backpacks had the initials UNRWA and had a United Nations symbol. And, you know, we've talked about this and reported on it a couple of years ago, that the UNRWA, the Red Cross, the USAID that's being led by Samantha Power, who's the Marxist from the Obama regime, they help finance the illegal alien invasion into the United States. So here you have two issues, probably what, 12,000 miles apart. You've got the invasion of illegal aliens being supported by UNRWA. UNRWA is also involved in Gaza. They had up to 35,000 employees in Gaza. And they know they've identified what? They said, was it 19 UNRWA employees were involved in the massacre on October 7th, 2023? Only 23 or something like that, only 19? And they had over 15,000 employees they admitted. And then I read another article. There were 35,000 UNRWA employees in Gaza. The UN is useless.
The United States pays for most of it. They hate Israel. They hate the United States. Who knows? Maybe Trump will say, all right, UN, you're out in New York City. Go find another home.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be something? Oh. Got some new real estate for you.
That would be a nice what if.
Oh, man. That would be. But they can actually Trump. And then Trump can make Hank Johnson the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. ambassador, because if Guam tips over, that means that Hank Jones would go with it.
I agree.
Hank Johnson, excuse me. Hank Jones is with us. Hank Johnson of Georgia.
Hey, Hank Jones would be good. That guy's got a great show, doesn't he? The combination
he does,
of politics and sports. It's beautiful. What a beautiful concept.
Oh, their show yesterday was fantastic. If you can get it, you go to the archives on Blog Talk Radio, listen to Avid Mike and Hank. Well, they were talking about the wrap up and how the college football is in turmoil with the with what happened on Saturday, and then of course the fight that ensued between at Ohio State Michigan game, and the Ohio State coach Ray was like he was oblivious to what was happening. It's like,
yeah, it was a wild, wild weekend for college football. It was rivalry week for those who didn't watch any of the games, and like you said, there was a fight with Ohio State and Michigan, and Michigan upset Ohio State. Big, big upset. Shoot, are we already at the end? And then they had a fight because they planted the flag in the middle of the field. And also with Florida State and the Gators, the same thing happened. The Florida State coach went after the Gators for planting a flag in Doak Campbell Stadium, which, yeah, I think this is horrible. Culturally, it's bad for football, and I blame the coaches for this lack of discipline from the players. I don't know about you.
Well, Napier, the coach of the Florida Gators, came out and said there's no, that there is no place to do that. He was upset with his players for doing that, and apparently said it will never happen again. And it's right. I mean, just this whole culture right now is just upside down. And I think it's ridiculous. You know, you celebrate your win. You don't have to show up. You already showed up the team. You're a 19.5 point underdog, and you beat Ohio State. That's enough. Okay, you're not going to a bowl game. Just celebrate the victory, and you know, and be humble about it, because that's what makes you great. Stupid asses.
Amen. And in the top five, we have Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, and Georgia. A lot of movement on the top 25. This is going to be an exciting year for college football.
And some movement here at Global Patriot Radio Wednesday. You have Hank Jones and Poly Sports. As Al said, Hank's got a great show. Check him out at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Global Patriot Radio. Saturday, Minister Sam Adakduck and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. I'll tell you, I am so impressed with Minister Simon Dakduk. The man he knows Islam. He knows the Bible. If you have a chance on Saturday evenings, give him a listen to. He does just a fantastic job, and he's a really good man. Sunday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports with Avid Mike. They do a college football wrap-up, so I don't know if they're going to do one this Sunday. I don't think there's any games but the Army-Navy game, but they might. They might. There'll be a lot of speculation as to the brackets and what the top 12 will be. And then Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include Annie of Southern Sense Talk Radio and her great sidekick, Arthur Curtis Bennett. Check them out Friday afternoons, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. They've already made a move. They simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. But you can check out Annie on YouTube as well. So it's Annie Southern Sense Talk Radio. If you want a break from politics, go to Spreaker.com and the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Joshua does a great job. I believe he'll be moving to Podbean maybe even this week, I think. But check out the Simone Nicole Show. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. She's a great American. Check out Audrey Russo, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays. Go to AudreyRusso.com. And also check out RZ on Spreaker.com. He's got the reactionary show on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Bigfoot's Place.blogspot.com. Big's got a great blogspot. Check it out. Thank you, Bigfoot. Bring it on, boy. Ducky Northwest, Gulf Dogs, I Guy, Al, any parting shots?
Just remember, at the end of this month, Blog Talk Radio will be going off the air. We, too, will be moving to a different platform. He's still yet unknown, but we will keep you advised.
Yes, we will. Thank you all in podcast land for listening this evening and joining us. And you all be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. God bless the United States of America. Ciao for now, folks.
Yes, it was my way.
The clock's only off by 20 seconds as well. I mean, oh. They can't even get a clock to count right.
Yeah. No, it's a shame they're going to be getting rid of this platform because the platform itself is nice. It's a great platform.
It is. I got to give them credit. I mean, it's easy to operate. It's easy to use. And we've got, 10 years of shows. Oh, mamma mia.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to all that content either. We've got to figure that out, too.
Yeah, I know. The sad part is we're going to lose Kel's stuff. We kept it up here kind of for sentimental reasons, but I mean, when I put stuff up, I look at it and I see Kel's. I love the EDL We Are Coming. I'm going to have to figure out how to get that because that's one of my favorite. And then Fox on the Run. That was pretty good, too. So she's got the – yeah. We'll have to do
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Now, who went over to Podbeam? You,
Joshua.
Or who's going to Podbeam? Joshua.
Joshua. That would be the Simone Nicole show. He's been on.
Oh, okay.
He's been on Spreaker.com for the last 4 or 5 years. He was going to make the move over to Blog Talk Radio last month because of the chat room and the ease of use. He was going to go back to Blog Talk Radio. The week he was going to change, he got the letter that stated that they were going out of business and they were closing their platform. So it's like, son of a gun. And then Spreaker, I believe, was closing their chat room. So that's going to be, you know, that he loves the chat room and he interacts with his guests. So,
well, that's what we want. We want exactly that. So, but then you got this YouTube option, which I don't know too much about.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I got a face for radio. So.
Yeah, that's true. But you have a great personality, so it offsets it.
Yeah, thanks.
No, hey, don't mention it.
No, don't mention it.
glad I could help. But yeah, I mean, with YouTube, that's obviously video, and with Podbean, you got a choice of audio or video. So
Podbean seems like it's similar to what we have here.
Yeah.
All right.
But we'll talk more about that, and you let me know how it was getting with the getting into that account that I opened, the free one. I don't know if that created any problem. But give me a holler. Let me know how your experience, if you're able to get into it, because that's how it'll be set up, is one account, and then the different hosts will utilize that one account to put their shows, and we'll try to keep it all under, like we have it now, under Global Patriot Radio. Hopefully that'll be possible, so we'll see. I don't see why it shouldn't, but
right.
You never know. Anyway.
What? You know what? I didn't get to read this, but the Babylon Bee. Yesterday's headline is politics. It says, America starting to think this. Joe Biden guy might be a liar. America's starting to think this. Joe Biden guy might be a liar. Really?
They're hilarious.
And then their other one is Trump renews relations with Castro regime, and it's a picture of Justin Trudeau sitting next to President Trump in Mar-a-Lago.
Now that's funny.
That is funny.
That's
Those
who don't know, Justin Trudeau has an uncanny resemblance to Castro in his youth.
Yes. Yes, he does. Very much so. And I guess Margaret Trudeau had a wandering eye and was banging Fidel Castro and had a love child.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, you know.
And he turned out to be a total Marxist idiot. So
yeah.
The moon and the stars aligned for that clusterfuck.
I mean, you know, was Pierre Trudeau sterile like Bill Clinton? And that's why Chelsea Clinton looks like Webster Hubble? I don't know. I mean, just saying, you know.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, have a good evening.
All right, you too. Great show, as always.
Yeah. It's good to be back. It's good to take a break, and we'll keep following. We'll try to connect the dots even further now with now we know it's CEFC China Energy, and the time frame there. That was pretty cool. March of 2020, they declared bankruptcy in March of 2020. Who's anointed? But Joe Biden, huh? Son of a gun.
God. Imagine getting undone for 10 years of what you have done, what you might have done, and will do.
Do. Right?
God, if the mob controlled the Justice Department, it would be exactly like this.
Yeah, if the mob
existed. How sweet it is for the corrupt.
Yes. All right, well. I'm gonna take us out with "Stairway to Heaven" and it's under Kells. Boy, I'll take us out. You have a good evening.
All right, you too.
I'll talk to you later this week.
All right, adios.
Ciao.
Makes me